following has been produced by PutThemInASong.com.
My name is Shane Yoder. I write songs for a living. And every day, I hear stories transform into songs. Now you can too. First, let's do a snap so I can line it up. So on three, one, two, three.
That should be pretty close.
Call is now being recorded.
Starting with like that email string we had from, gosh, I can't believe that was all the way back in 2016.
I know.
It's like we've been working together forever.
I know. It started in 2016, and that thread that I sent you ended almost a year later. I guess it wasn't quite a year, but it was about maybe 6 months. But
yeah, because I think we used the new intro at the beginning of season three, which was like March of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that whole process after you sent me the Bobby Wood song for Off Duty.
Yeah. Yeah, people, I've had quite a few people that listen to Off Duty order an intro, and they wanted it kind of the same vibe as that song. So.
Yeah, that was one of your best. My kids still love to listen to it.
It's a little bit strange why y'all still listen, cause we're all a little insane. Oh, and Uncle Mike's a hugger, patches ties with the band-aid. Brian is DJ sipping booze, clickety clacking all day. And I'm kind of a big deal, just call me Bobby Wood, a hero for real. I can shoot 20 deers out in the woods. I got friends in LA, I'm proud to say. Got a lawnmower in my yard where I work out of a little shack, but I can still give you a nice little charge. Even though I love Sidewinder, I'll take them to the danger zone. I'd like to hang up on someone if I can figure out how to use this phone. Yeah, music guy's killer, I'll never treat him wrong. He'll make fun of my downfalls and put them in a song. I'm kind of a big deal, just call me Bobby Wood, a hero for real. I can shoot 20 deers out in the woods. I got friends in LA, I'm proud to say. Got a lawnmower in my yard where I work out of a little shack, but I can still give you a nice little charge. I'm kind of a big deal, they know me in Hollywood. Been on TV, but still Johnny Rose kicked me in my guts. I got tattoos and they look cool. My logo shows my big strong arms. I live in Bridgman, but I still give you a nice little charge.
I get quite a few comments on that was fun to do, because I asked the Facebook group like what I should put in the song. All those details came from the Facebook group.
Oh, from the Bobby Wood song?
Mm-hmm.
Or a nice little charge?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
I like that you call it Bobby Wood.
That's what my kids call it. They want to listen to the Bobby Wood song.
I was pretty happy about that one. About that line.
Yeah. Yeah, God, I remember. I mean, I don't know where all you want to go with this, but like I was just like reading those emails. I remember the whole process that it happened to be the timing, like as you sent me that stuff, that our other music guy and I were having a falling out, so to speak. And it was like, it was just the timing of it was perfect. And it ended up being your music guy now. It was perfect.
Well, I guess we could start from the very beginning.
Okay.
I first sent you some unsolicited tracks.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, for like when we took phone calls and mail call on Off Duty.
Uh-huh. Yeah, just kind of like little jingle intros for those segments.
can show me. Mail time. Mail time.
I remember I was sitting in a parking lot at Home Depot. I was talking to Erica, I think, about a song that we were doing, and I got your email, and I remember that vividly, because you were kind of a big deal back then to me. Not so right, much
now,
anymore.
But. Right, now you know that I'm just a just a normal, just dumbass guy. So that whole time was exciting, because it was really, from my perspective, I was in a really bad time. You know, things were really doing well with the podcast, and it was really picking up steam and things were going well. Then out of nowhere, I ran into this issue with our old music guy, and it was like, God, what are we going to do? And it was like an answer to prayer that it was like, oh, well, here's a talented musician right here. I wonder if he wants to do anything like this.
I did read over something in these emails that I mentioned. I had the idea to score mm-hmm. Truth and Justice. And I even said it. I'm sure that's years down the road. But and then you came back and said, well, yeah, that would be very difficult to do timing wise.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worked out pretty well.
Well, yeah, I underestimated how number one, the amount of time that you work, and also the limited time that you leave your home to do anything else.
Yeah, Christy and I were just talking about that yesterday.
But it's really, you remember when you first started actually scoring them, and I would like, if I got you the file like on a Friday, I'm like, dude, I'm so sorry, like I'm your wife's gonna kill me because you're spending Friday night and Saturday doing this. And then I got to know you guys, and Christy was like, nah, it's fine. He doesn't do things on Friday nights.
well she's usually gone. She has a shoot or something, or a concert. Mm-hmm. She has to get someone ready for, so my Friday nights are just by myself usually.
Right. Yeah. And it was, and I do remember you like mentioned scoring. And the thing is, I'm such a control freak, like, because, you know, up to that point, I did everything myself. You know, I got those couple of tracks I got from the old music guy that were just old tracks he let me use. And then, you know, I wrote the podcast, I recorded it, I edited it, and then I would add the music in how I liked it. And I just couldn't fathom letting anybody into that process anywhere. Like, I just felt like, you know, like stupidly, like no one can do this as well as I do. I'm the only one that does it right. And then mm-hmm. It's funny looking back on it now that, you know, now I write and Mike, so like in the research phase, Mike's a big part of that. And then I write and then I record, and then you guys take it from Mike, does all the editing, and then he sends it to you, and then you do all the music, and it's so much better than it was when I was doing it right back then.
Well, people liked it back then too. I'm sure you get a lot more, as far as like the production goes, a lot more people that don't like it.
No, every once in a while I'll get, and you see some of the stuff on social media to where, you know, we'll get 50 people that'll say how the music was awesome and they love the music. And then, you know, somebody will pop in and say the music's distracting, because we do, you know, we score. I mean, there's music under almost all the episodes anymore, unless it's an interview. I would say the overwhelming majority love it. There are some people that don't like it, and a very few people that hate it. But, you know, it's, we've learned you can't please anybody. The other thing that I've learned and kind of learned from you is that it really makes a huge difference what you're listening on. You know, the sound design is so different if I'm listening on my earbuds, or if I'm listening on my Beats, or if I'm listening in my truck. It sounds completely different.
Yeah, it's hard to balance all that out. Music is my background, so I want to make the music interesting. Mm-hmm. And I could just go through and put a bunch of pads. You know, do you know what pads are?
You say just words like that to me all the time, Shane. I don't know what the hell any of them mean. I just act like I do.
All right. So you're at a worship service, and it's someone's praying, and someone's playing the keyboard behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a washy, you know, that kind of, it's not, there's no real melody to it. It's just kind of like a wash of music.
Right. Okay.
So that's what a pad is, and you can make it suspenseful or happy, you know, depending on the chord you play. So I could do that, and people probably wouldn't know. If we started off doing that, it would be fine, you know, but I wouldn't want to do that, because I like just the position of a track like that, and then you make a big point or a mic drop moment. You always call it the beat hits.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So it's a process of, you know, it sounds great in headphones.
Yeah.
I always listen to my podcast in headphones. So it's trying to get that balance of how do I mix this to make it sound good in everyone's speakers?
Yeah, and I've loved since we've started doing it the back and forth when you'll send an episode, especially when we have a lot of time and it's a big episode like a season premiere, you know, and it's also the language barrier between the two of us is always funny. You know, I'm like, I need it to be more feely, you know, and I want it to give me chills. Like, this is more like suspensey and I want more like scary, you know, or whatever. But it's I'm always amazed when they come out, like how you work in all those different tracks and you capture the mood and because it makes such a huge difference. And that's like sometimes when we do make some adjustments, it's because, you know, I'm just speaking words and you're putting the feeling into it. And every once in a while, like, I'll have in mind, I want this feeling, and you had in mind a different feeling. And when you put the music in, you definitely get the, you know, I'll listen to them like, oh, that's not, that made me sad. I wanted that to make me happy. Can we change that?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just neat how much, you know, like I said, the scoring thing I thought was crazy and we talked about it and I just wasn't sure if we would ever be able to do it or if I was willing to do it. And it's changed things so dramatically because it adds that feeling into the podcast, and it does a great job of capturing. You know, when I listen back to the old episodes from season one where it was just me and a microphone, hardly any music. And it's funny because like people loved that. That's how we cut our teeth and we got started. But like now when I listen to it, I almost cringe at the sound difference between that and what we have now. It's like it sounds terrible. It sounds like I was recording in a shed, which I was. You know, as opposed to now, like you think, and we're still recording in a shed, so to speak. But with the process that you put on it, that it has a completely different sound. It sounds very professional now, like almost like we know what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Almost. We'll get there at one point.
Right.
Yeah. I know it was a long time ago, but do you remember what you were looking for in that first intro?
I remember it was... I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted. You know, it was at that point, it was like the intro we were using worked. So I kind of wanted something like that. But then I kind of wanted maybe a voiceover into it, maybe something more powerful. What I really wanted was something that was going to right off the bat, you know, because by then, by 2016, I think was when we started talking about that. The show had grown into what it was. You know, it started as this fan show and then kind of an investigation thing. And then, you know, it worked into this crowdsourcing, everyone working together for a greater good. You know, the Truth and Justice Army became a thing. And so it was like I wanted something. Now that I knew what Truth and Justice really was, I wanted something that was just going to fire people up right from the beginning. Like, not just, hey, listen to this guy, but all right, let's get started and let's go tackle this thing together. And so that's what I was looking for. And it took a little bit of back and forth with us to get there. But I loved, if I remember correctly in the email I sent you, I think I said, love, 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 love it. It's fire. Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Well, that was the final take.
Right. Yeah.
do you remember the first take I gave you? Creepy it was.
Yeah, I remember. I say it feels like it's a horror movie, and I think we bounced back and forth between horror movie and that it felt like the beginning of a boxing match. Like, ladies and gentlemen, you know, it was like it was, for me what I was feeling. And then there was, for lack of a better, I think it might have been the words I used. I'm like, okay, this sounds awesome, but everybody knows that I produce this show myself, and I sound like a total douchebag when I'm like, and I'm Bob Ruff, and we're gonna blah blah. You know, it was tough for me to. There was a lot of back and forth, and it was cool that we. How we? I mean, it was months, wasn't it? A long time. We went back and forth to get it right.
This is a New Beginnings production. It's more than a battle. There is a war among us, but for the wrongly accused. This is truth and justice.
We have created a voice that is millions of people strong. This is the power of real people. It is what is going to change our criminal justice system, because we're not giving them any other choice. It's new information that's been revealed by a closer look at the crime scene. Something jumped out at me and could be a bombshell. From the best I can see, the prosecution just literally made this fact up. And there it was, staring me right in the face. Everyone has had this wrong for 40 years.
And now, your host, Bob Ruff.
I think we changed the voiceovers back and forth a bit. And I did have a hard time with, I was always worried about how people were going to, but believe it or not, shockingly, I'm a little more humble than people think I am. Like, it's embarrassing to me for me when we put that out, because I felt like I was like tooting my own horn. But then, we ended up with something that I think was that hit the sweet spot perfectly, and the reaction from it. I'll say this: you were right about a lot of stuff, because you pushed me into doing it a certain way, gently, of course. When I was like, I don't think I want to do this, and you're like, no, dude, this is really good. You should try it. Listen to it again. And the reaction when it came out was awesome from the audience. They loved how it fired them up.
The only thing necessary for evil to prevail is that good men and women do nothing. I am simply a mouthpiece for good men and women around the world who want to make a difference. Engagement and the involvement of ordinary people is what is going to change our criminal justice system. Many have tried and failed, but the only difference between them and me is I'm bringing an army with me. This is Truth and Justice.
And since then, now we've started doing a whole new sound design every season. We do new logo art, we do new intro, new pads, I guess, during and tracks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, during the episodes. But that makes it number one, it's so exciting, and the music just gets better and better. But then when we have those throwback episodes, when we have a development or something, it's like nostalgic. Probably the favorite episode I've ever recorded was the 329-18 episode, when we got word that Ed was going to be released. And that was a crazy, you remember that? It was insane, because we found out like on Wednesday or Thursday morning, and we already had the episode all done for that week. And then we're like, we got to do this now. We got to make this episode for this week right now and get it out there. And Mike and I worked until 2 o'clock in the morning. We made you work until 2 o'clock in the morning. And it was and put it all together. And, when it was done, when it finally got finished and the episode opened up, because we're always trying to create, this is what we do, isn't entertainment, but it needs to be entertaining. And we're always trying to motivate people to just get involved and do something. And something about the opening of that episode, when no one knew what it was about, because I didn't even put an episode number on it, so no one had a clue that it was about season two. And when no one knew it was about, and then the intro music started, and everybody was waiting for the, was that one listener called the Swampy West Memphis 3 music?
That's the best way to describe
that. It's exactly right. And so everybody's waiting for that, and then here comes the old season two intro music. And it was, that beat at the beginning. I'm getting chills thinking about it now. It's like right away, I feel like everyone was like, what is going on? Why are we flashing back? What's happening? And just with the way you scored that episode, it just gave you, it just made you pissed when you wanted to be pissed, and it made you excited when you wanted to be excited. It made you cry when I wanted you to cry. It just captured the feeling of it. And that's something you can't do, I've learned now, without music. That's why, TV shows and movies do the same thing. There's always that little bit of music in the background that you almost don't notice.
You mentioned watching TV or movies. You have another source of distraction. Does that make sense? When you're listening to podcasts, it's just you might be doing some other things at the time, but you, especially in headphones or while you're driving, you hear it and you're not watching somebody talk to help register
right
what's being said. So if you listen and watch, or you know, watch any kind of TV show or movie, the music is really loud.
Yeah,
compared to,
but you're engaging other
podcasts would be.
Yeah, you're right. Engaging more senses with it, like you're like right. You're seeing things at the same time, and so mm-hmm. And I think that just makes doing a podcast, what you do, so much more. It has to be so much more difficult because you know, and we've had the episodes where you've sent them back and I was, you know, like the music's awesome, but it's too much, you know, where it's mm-hmm. just, it gets a little distracting. And then, you know, and then other times where it's just like that perfect blend. But that's such, I honestly don't know how you do it because, I mean, really you can, with you having the final, being the final sound engineer, just, you know, engineering the vocals and putting the music in, you know, you really make or break the show. If you, you know, put too much music in or not enough music or the wrong music, it completely changes the show. And I don't know, that seems like a lot of pressure. You handle it pretty well, as far as I know. Maybe you drink a lot when I'm not there. Sometimes you drink a lot when I am there.
It's yeah. This is a family show, Bob. We were talking about season 5. And that's the first time we changed the intro.
Right.
To the swampy music.
Right.
All the rest of our communication has been through like text.
Right. So yeah.
I didn't feel like going back through all the texts and getting them, pull them up. But do you remember if you had anything in mind for the intro of season 5?
I
can't remember.
Well, by the time season 5 rolled around, I was so comfortable with you and what you do that I didn't give you any insight into it. You know, I said, do I want to, and it wasn't even, if you remember, it wasn't even like me directing you to make new music. It was the, you know, me, you and Mike, it was either on FaceTime on the computer or when we were, all working together down in West Memphis, just working on investigating the case and giving Mike poison ivy, that we, you know, collectively were like, we should just, somewhere along the line, we all as a group decided we should change the artwork and music for the season. Do something completely different. I don't think it was necessarily me. It was my idea. I think we kind of all came to that conclusion together. But it was just like this new season, season 6, where it was like, you know, here's some items about the case with West Memphis 3. You knew some about it, and you watched some of the documentaries and stuff to kind of get up to speed. And then you just did your thing, and then you pitched it to me. And I think season 5, I don't recall asking for any revisions on that intro at all. Do you?
No, you didn't ask. I did send you like 4 different versions of it.
Right. Yeah.
Because I was working through it on my end.
I remember. I do remember one thing, the movement track, which is the one that, you know, for those people that don't know, is the one that after the intro, the kind of Mike and I talk over during the Friday follow-ups. Remember me, or maybe it was the outro, I kept telling you that I couldn't, every time I heard it, all I could hear was the Munsters.
Oh yeah, I do remember that. Yep.
And I thought I was crazy, and Mike and I were in here like playing your track and playing the Munsters theme song on YouTube to see how close they were, and they weren't really close, but it was like the same. The one beat in there was like the same. That was like the only revision I remember making, is like, can we lose the Munsters theme song from the background of this?
Vividly. And also that first episode of season 5, I remember I was so excited because I had all this new music for like a month or two,
uh-huh.
You know, after we got back from West Memphis, And I think I went up to visit you.
Yeah, once. You did. Yep.
Yeah. And so I got back and I was making all this music. I had 100 tracks or so. And I'm like, yeah, this is going to be great. So I worked 6 or 7 hours on that score, you know, just trying different tracks out, see what works that would then. And I remember sending it to you, and what you sent back was the longest list of revisions that I needed to do. I was like, oh man.
That I remember that now. And it was, and it looked so bad, but it wasn't, because it was, I was like, Mike and I were, because it was, we also had, we re-recorded that way ahead of time. And so we had a couple weeks to get it ready. And we were like literally like time stamping. So it was a huge list, but it was like at minute 24 and 15 seconds, can you lower the volume on this? And can you use a little different track here? Or can, it was like all those little tweaks, but it was like, how pissed were you when you got that text?
Well, I wasn't pissed. I still enjoy doing it. I would do the same episode over and over again. Uh-huh. You know, I really enjoy scoring. So I wasn't mad. I was just kind of, at the time, I don't know if it was the same day or I hope it wasn't the same day or I would have been mad. But I think it probably was a day or so later.
Yeah.
That still is the longest list of stuff I've gotten from you as far as revisions go.
Yeah, that's the most nitpicky I think I've ever been, because it was a lot of little stuff, but it was like one of those, like, we wanted it to be perfect, and we just, and it was, I was like having like my kids come out and listen to parts, and Becky, and I'm like, what are you, like, is the music too loud here, does it distract you? Was just really trying to get it just absolutely perfect. And then like, as, and wasn't I like real time texting you? Like, I didn't give you a list. I was like, yeah. Like, yep. So you like, yeah, woke up and looked at your phone and had 40 texts from me.
Yep, that's what it was. Yeah,
because I was just, as we were listening to it, we were like sending notes through text as it was going. Yeah, sorry about that. But hey, it ended up perfect when it was done. Everybody loved it.
Yeah, it was great. Here's a season 5 intro of Truth and Justice. And if you listen closely, after the first guitar riff, you'll hear me sing Muddy Water. Listen to it, that's always a good idea, because you're listening for the music. Mm-hmm. I'm listening for the music. And like, when I go back through and do the final edit on a score, like, I can't not listen for the music, because I know, right, it's, you know, and that's why I like you to listen to it, because that, I know you're listening for the music, but you also know the vibe and stuff that you want.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what's coming, but I know what tracks are coming. So right. Mainly I'm just listening for the levels, the final listen through, mm-hmm, the score. But yeah, we should hire somebody to just listen.
Yeah. You say hire. How about an intern, like an unpaid intern, that their job is just to listen, to review the episode? I'm sure there are people that would love to get the episode early. You know, with the season 6 premiere, I was driving home from a softball tournament with my stepdaughter, and so I put it on to play it, and Becky and I were in the front seat, and Bella was just in the back seat. I was kind of wondering, like, I wonder if this will get her attention. And so we played it, and it got to the first commercial break, the only ad break that was in there, and she's like, what, that's it? What's happening now? And I'm like, it's just an ad break. So it had got her attention. She was listening. And then when the episode ended, and Bella's 12, when the episode ended, she was like freaking out. Who did it? Who did they send to jail for that? Who did it? And it was like the best test ever, because number one, the content kept the attention of a 12-year-old. And right, number two, the music, you know, because it's always, you know, like you, you're the music guy, I'm the vocal guy. So it's always like, is the balance there? You know, I want more vocal and you want more music. That's, you know, it's finding that perfect fit. And so the fact that she didn't say I couldn't hear that because of the music, or it was like the music drew her in but didn't distract her. And so it was, that was like the perfect litmus test. I just got to get her to drive around the car with me every time we get a new episode.
I don't always see the comments unless they tag me. But well, I've seen a lot of good feedback for season six so far.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, and that was another process. It was, you know, as far as the, you know, my input for the intro, you know, I think you sent me some ideas and, you know, I gave you some thoughts on it, but for the most part you did your own thing. But it was, I love your process of how you write it. Like you were, you know, I was of course in close communication with the family of the victim. And, you know, like, what were they into? You know, he was from Guatemala, and there was the Jehovah's Witness Church, and the, I don't even remember. What kind of music did she say they really liked?
You know, I was going to ask you, because I couldn't remember.
It was like Peter Frampton type music.
Yeah, and something like that. It was some band.
Fleetwood Mac. It was Fleetwood Mac.
That's yep. What it was. That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, and so like,
I found, I did some research, and I was going back through a whole bunch of their YouTube videos or songs or whatever. I found, I can't remember the song. I'll have to insert it right here, because I can edit it.
Right, exactly.
The song is The Chain by Fleetwood Mac. Added some South American kind of percussion, and you listen to season six music, that's kind of riddled throughout all the music. Real organic percussion and stuff like that.
Yeah, you just managed to get such a good vibe with all of it. And then the intro and the outro, and I absolutely love, and I want to ask you something about the outro in a second, but you know, the intro, it just, and then there's that vocal, and I can't remember, I can't even quite pick up what you're saying in the intro, but I remember it was something to do with the Jehovah's Witness motto or something like that, wasn't it?
Well, it's actually a biblical verse, one of the verses that they preach on quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paraphrasing, but do not fear the ones who can kill the body, but not the soul.
God, that's right. Yeah. Yep. And I remember you put that, because I remember we had that conversation, and you sent me what those lyrics were, and it was such a cool touch, and it's so subtle, in behind there, where you can hear the people that know what it is certainly catch it, and then the other people just hear it, and it just sounds great, but they don't quite know. I think your season six intro is the best one yet. Speaking of our text messages, I think I have 200 text messages from you that say this is the best one yet.
Send you that until what did I score the teaser first and then sent you the intro, or did I send you that before? I can't
you
remember.
Sent me a version of the intro weeks or a month, right, before, but it was just like your very first cut of it, And then I hadn't heard any more of the music until you sent me the teaser. And the teaser was just fire on the first cut. I mean, it was awesome. And that's what I was going to say about the... So when you do the outros, like for our show, you have several different versions, right? Depending on the feel of the how I close the show.
Right. Yep. Yeah, with season 5, I had 4 different outros, all with the same kind of melody in it. Mm-hmm. Different vibes. One was sad. One was mic drop, I think I labeled it. One was labeled spy. And what was the other one? Cinematic.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. And now, have you done the same thing with season 6? Because the and I hadn't noticed it, but one of my good friends was talking to me after he listened to the preview and the episode 601, the season premiere of season 6. And he was like, dude, the music is unbelievable. It's the best music you've ever had. And he wanted me to tell you specifically that the outro beat you had and the teaser is the most intense and awesome that he's ever heard. And he wants you to do that with the regular episodes.
Okay. That's the... Here on Truth and Justice, we have something called an outro build and an outro track. So the build is always the same.
Right.
And then depending on how you release the episode, that's when you get the different versions of the outro track.
Mm-hmm.
So that I think I on the teaser, I just left it as ending on the outro build.
Hello, this is a free call from
Sandra Melgar,
an offender at Hobby Unit. This call is being recorded and is subject to monitoring.
And we were about to maybe just leave because we weren't sure what was going on, but my dad said, I'm just going to go ahead and go inside. As we're walking in, you can just already feel that there's something eerie, you know? There's something... Something's not right here. Not too long after that, we start hearing help. And then we kind of just stand there. What was said? You know, we weren't sure what was being said. And then finally, you can hear help, help, help.
Your mom was in the closet for how long?
15 hours. Sandy's in there. She's tied up.
It was taking a while, so I got out and was going to get dressed. That's all I remember until I woke up.
They weren't able to loosen it up. They weren't able to get her out. My mom had to go out and look for scissors. And then that's when, at that moment, everyone went looking for my uncle.
Some relatives coming over to celebrate their 32nd wedding anniversary. This is just 2 days before Christmas. These relatives discover Jaime Melgar stabbed to death in a closet, Sandra tied up in a separate closet.
His ankles they were tied up with what looked like a telephone, like the gray telephone cables. We realized, he said there was a family emergency, so we called him. He let me know that my dad had been killed. And he wasn't sure how. I think it was just excuses until they could go to the DA with charges for my mom.
Where's the beef? Where's the crime? I guess more importantly, where's the investigation?
Jehovah's Witnesses don't allow you to divorce unless someone's cheating. It's very clear that Jamie was not that guy. If I get divorced, I get ostracized and I can't talk with my friends. But if I kill him and nobody finds out, I'm not ostracized.
Yes, Bill. Well, the prosecutor arguing very strongly that Sandra Melgar did murder her husband. The defense saying there was shoddy detective work and the evidence just does not add up. Now it's up to the jury. Sandra Melgar's fate lies in their hands.
This is crazy. A jury is going to see this for what it is. It's just, they're going to see the facts of the case, and we're going to get to move on with our lives as best as we can.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Sandra Jean Melgar, guilty of murder as charged in the indictment.
Order.
so wrong. I still don't even know what happened. It's just overwhelming. And you feel so helpless and powerless. And I just want to, like, scream this as loud as I can, tell everyone I can, you know, so they know what a miscarriage of justice this was. But someone can do something, and there's just nothing I can do about it.
This case ought to scare the hell out of all of you.
Season 6 of Truth and Justice begins on July 29th with episode number 601. Join in on the investigation into the murder of Jaime Melgar. Oh, did it? It was something. He was playing the two for me, and this doesn't have to be for your show. Just in general, that's why I have you on the phone. There was like you have to listen to it and see what you might know what you did, but there was in the preview there was just like this powerful like thumping beat. And it's the same thing in the premiere close, but it's just a little more subtle than it was in that. But anyway, he wanted me to tell you, it's Zach Weaver, my buddy Zach, that he's loving the season 6 music and he loves it all, and especially the outro on the teaser just got him fired up, as he said.
I know exactly what he's talking about because it gave me chills the first time I heard it. Mm-hmm. It was that clip of that guy saying, This case ought to scare the hell out of all of you.
Right. Yeah, and then that track right after was just powerful. Yeah. Well, it's a little different with us. We've been working we work together every week for 2 years now. So there's a little bit more of a relationship or trust. I don't want to say trusting relationship, I guess. We're just like, that's your job. You do your job and you do it very, very well.
Well, thanks, Bob. I don't take compliments very well. So here's a sneak peek of the mic drop outro of Truth and Justice Season 6.
Truth and Justice is a production of NBI Studios. Michael Bussing is your executive producer, and Shane Yoder is our sound engineer. All music for the show was created, composed, and scored by PutThemInASong.com, who also mixed and mastered this episode.
The Root Note has been brought to you by Put Them in a Song, in collaboration with NBI Studios. All guests know they are being recorded and are willing to be. All music and songs are created and scored by PutThemInASong.com. You can follow the Root Note Podcast at Root Note Pod on Twitter. If you would like to have a song or music created for you or a loved one, visit PutThemInASong.com, where you have a better voice than you think. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on The Root Note.